Blog Talk Radio.
All right, hello and welcome. This is Overseer Tim Jackson. Welcome to Reign in Love Ministries. We're on teaching eschatology. Hopefully everything is going good in your world. Amen. We are praying for you all. Amen. We're praying for the saints of the world. We're praying for the believers and the unbelievers alike. Amen. We're just praying for God's continued grace and mercy. We thank him for what he has done for us and what he is about to do. Amen. We are, amen, looking for the king. Amen. As we like to say, amen, the king is coming. Amen. So hopefully you all have the expectancy, amen, of the return of Christ. Amen. We're not trying to predict and say that we know exactly when he's going to be here. Amen. But the things of the world are continuing to be, amen, in order, amen. So the things are happening, amen, and we believe that this is the perfect time for his return, amen, because of the things that are happening in the world. We cannot ignore the different events that are currently taking place on our planet, in our world today, amen. And we know that things have to be in a certain place, amen, in order for these things to take place. In other words, in order for the Great Tribulation, in order for the events within the Great Tribulation to take place, we know, amen, that certain things have to be. The internet had to be. Certain technologies have to be. We have social media where we can see events going on around the world in real time. I mean, we have television. We have satellites. We have a lot of different things that we did not have decades ago. When I graduated from high school, we didn't have social media where we could reach out and reach people across the planet or across the state lines or in another city. We had telephones, right? We had long-distance service. We had things of that nature. But we didn't have to where you can do live chat on your phone. That's amazing. I remember when I used to work for AT&T many years ago, they used to talk about that, how we'd be able to look at somebody on the phone and talk to them like television. I'm like, yeah, right. Really? Will we be able to do that? Is that a possibility? And not even probably 5 or 10 years later, after I started working for AT&T, if I had moved on, this was a possibility. We know it's a possibility now. I don't know how long Snapchat and all this stuff has been going on, live chat. I forgot the other little app where you can communicate and deal with other people. But these things are amazing. These things have to be in place in order for these events to take place, amen. So we know that we are near, again, in order for the whole world will see the witnesses, the two witnesses over in Revelation. Again, this has to be a reality. In order for the world to be able to see the Antichrist all at the same time, then the 7-year tribulation, this has to be a reality. So we know that back then the time where the law was the jungle, that's what they called the law of the jungle, in the age of the jungle, there was no such thing. You know, you could not. Over 1,000 years ago, when people were living a very primitive life. In fact, we just came out of a primitive lifestyle. Me and my brother was just talking about that. Amen. How our parents and grandparents, how they used to, chicken and beef was not the main course of meat. People were eating possum and squirrel, you know, stuff like that, which is, you know, we think is like, man, I ain't eat no possum, no squirrel. I don't think about that. Well, my brother was telling me about that. But, you know, my dad showed me how they was able to do these things on their own. So anyway, amen, just want to put you in the mindset of where we are today and that we cannot ignore, as Paul says, the times and the seasons that we are in. Amen. So with that being said, amen, hopefully the watchman is on the wall, is on the line. If he's not, we know that he will be. On a little later, amen. I did talk to him earlier. He did mention that he would be on the air. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and just kick things off. We're going to go ahead and start out with a prayer. Amen. Then from there, we're just going to go ahead and get right on into the word. Amen. All glory be to the Most High. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another blessed day. We thank you for our life, our soul, our health, our strength. We thank you for all the many blessings that you bestowed upon us in our life. We thank you for our loved ones. We thank you for our family. Thank you for our parents and the life that they have blessed us with. Amen. We thank you for our children. Thank you for our spouses, the gifts that you have given us, our spouses and our children, our parents, our loved ones, our friends. Dear Heavenly Father, we even thank you for our enemies. Amen. Because our enemies come that they have, to make us strong. Amen. So we just thank you for the many blessings in our lives. We thank you for our income. We thank you for our finances. We thank you for our job opportunities, our business opportunities. Amen. Our educational opportunities. We just come blessing and praising your holy name, dear Heavenly Father. We pray for the nourishment and health and strength of our bodies. We thank you for our health, our strength, and all that you've blessed us with, and that we continue to do your word and your will, and we continue to move the word until your return. We give you all the glory and all the praises, Heavenly Father, for there is none like you in all existence. Heavenly Father, we are, amen, just watching for the return of your Son, amen, which we believe may be very soon, Heavenly Father. Amen. If not, amen, if it be 100 years and we're gone from this earth, we just pray that we do your word and do your will and do as you have blessed us and gifted us to do, to, amen, be a blessing to the world, ensuring, amen, the great commission, amen, which is your Lord, which is your Son, our Lord and Savior, amen, Yahshua. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore, Yahweh, amen. Amen. So let's go ahead and get this word started, amen. Today, for me, amen, it was a long day. In a sense that we're having some work done on the house, so we had a gentleman that just left before I got on the air 15 minutes ago. He's been there all day since I woke up this morning. So amen. We just kind of have had a long day. So I hadn't really got a chance to really put the finishing touch on my word for study. So I'm going to do the best that I can based on past previous knowledge of Revelation and just some scriptures. So I'm actually going to be freestyling today, amen. Because again, I wasn't really expecting it to take that long, amen. But again, you know, it is what it is. We thank him for the job that he's done, amen, and helping us to reach our goals and getting our home to where we would like for it to be, amen. So, excuse me, moving right along, amen. What I'm going to share today, what's on my heart, the Holy Spirit, I was sitting down today. I got an opportunity for about an hour to look over some notes and see what I want to teach on today. So I want to continue in Revelation 1, because we're about to soon be moving over to Revelation 2. I told you this round, every round that we go through Revelation, we'll go in depth as far as we can until Christ either returns or until he calls us home. So we're going to just continue to just give you this word. Again, this is for everybody. Amen. I thank the Most High for our listeners. This is for everyone, whether you are just one to just listen, or if you're a layman in the word, you know, you're teaching the word, you're trying to learn more about Revelation, you want some insight, some knowledge, some information, hey, I tell you, we got it, amen, because I'm not just saying it to boast or brag. I'm just saying we have information. There's a lot of information out there, amen. So I pray wherever you must find the truth, amen, find it through the Holy Spirit so that you can spread this word, spread this gospel, amen. Elder Bazaar is very knowledgeable. The brother has a lot of information. I raised a question to him the other week, and man, shockingly, he not only knew what I was inquiring about, and I think I shared it last week, if not, I may get a chance to share it here today or in the near future about the Antichrist. He not only knew what the scripture was about, amen, he expounded on the scripture, amen. Again, the brother's very knowledgeable, amen. So we're going to go ahead and open up our book. So what I want to talk about is Revelation, the first chapter. Amen. And I want to look at Revelation 1 and 3. Amen. Revelation, the first chapter, verse 3. It says, blessed is he that readeth. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. Amen. Blessed is he that read Revelation. Revelation is not a book for us to be afraid of. Revelation is not a book that we should shy away from. Revelation is not a book that, amen, that we are just to ignore. Amen. It's in the book. It's at the end of the book for a reason. Amen. As they always say, save the best for last. It is the last book of the Bible. And we should not ignore Revelation. Amen. It is at the end of the book. But it doesn't mean that we need to, that we should ignore it. We should definitely be reading because it's at the end for a reason. Revelation is at the end because all the 65 books prior to Revelation points to the very end of Revelation. That's why it's important that we do, amen, read Revelation, study Revelation. So not only are just to read it, but watch what John wrote. He said, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear. The word Greek here in the Greek is understand. So it's not only for us just to read it, because in order for you to understand something, you got to read it, right? So if you want to put something together, your bed, your television, something, especially this day and time, something electronic, in order for you to put it together, you have to read it. And then from reading it, you what? Begin to understand it. So you have to read it, and then from reading it, you understand it. That's just how things work. Because if you don't read it, you will not understand. And what does the Bible say? In all you're getting, get a what? Understanding. Amen. So it says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. This was prophesied in the very beginning to who? Yahweh, the Heavenly Father. God himself prophesied to who? The devil, and said, you know what? You're going to be defeated. In Genesis, the third chapter, verse 15, verse 16, but mainly verse 15 of Genesis, the third chapter, this is what he was referring to. It was a 6,000-year time frame that all this was supposed to come to pass, that this was prophesied. This is supposed to be an event that from all this time, amen, was supposed to take place and eventually bring us to where we are today. Amen. That's the, and I always say that my dad used to teach us when we were young, every 6,000 years, something, amen, something is fulfilling itself. Every 6,000 years, every 2,000 years, let me say that again, when I was a child, my dad said, every 2,000 years, amen, and a great event happens. So in the beginning, we had Adam and Eve in the garden. Amen. 2,000 years from Adam and Eve, we had who? The birth of a nation. The children, the Hebrew Israelites, the children of Israel, Abraham. 2,000 years from that, what do we have? We had the crucifixion of Christ, the birth, death, and resurrection of Christ. Amen. 2,000 years later. Now we are 2,000 years, which is the time of the church age. Okay, 2,000 years we have the church age. So what has happened? Amen. 2,000 years. What's taking place 2,000 years later? We are here in 2022. Wow, that's amazing. That is amazing just to say. That's amazing just to even think about. We are 2,000 years from Christ. Resurrection. Amazing. Wow. 2022. And my dad used to always say when I was younger, coming in, he said, and he pointed to the years 2000, the 2000 millennium, he said, this next millennium, Christ is going to come back. My dad used to say that. And he was like, what is he talking about, Christ? When I was young, you know, we didn't understand. Even as a young man, when I got my 20, I still didn't understand, what are you talking about, Christ is going to come back? My dad used to always say, Christ is going to come back. But we didn't think anything of it because, wow, we want to live our life, we want to do our thing. Well, okay, Dad said 2000. So he didn't say when 2000. He said 2000, Christ come back. That would be 2100, 2002. We might not even be here. Amen. That's our mindset. That's our mindset. That's our thought process that we might not even live to see Christ come back. Man, that's probably not going to our grandkids and kids. Maybe they'll get to see it. Man, so we're going to do our thing, live our life. And then when I got saved, amen, that's the one of the first main thing that came to my mind. I remember my dad said, Christ is going to come back and stuff, but I still have the mentality that we may not be here. I said, well, maybe my kids and grandkids still have the mentality after I got saved that we may not even be here amen, let me check my little mic here, make sure y'all can hear me loud and clear. Amen. We may not even be here, amen, when Christ returns. And so, you know, you fast forward, you begin to see some events, some things go on in the world, amen, and you still kind of have a mentality, well, maybe not. And so coming into 2019, 2020, you know, you hear more talk of Christ's return, And then, you know, this pandemic, this virus hit. But even before that, the Holy Spirit touched me and said, you know what, Tim, minister to the world. Make sure that you're assuring the knowledge of salvation. Amen. I told you guys when I first got saved, the Holy Spirit told me what my mission was going to be, salvation, save souls. And in January 2020, the Holy Spirit said, save souls. And, you know, you heard about this virus, but it was in the back of your mind. It's like, what are they talking about? And the first thing you thought was, oh, this is something like the, what was that, the other virus they had? They said the Ebola that came out of Africa. You said, oh, it's something like the Ebola. That's another pestilence. In other words, that's a past. They talk about how serious it was and how this is going to be, you know, global killer. Just it was just very serious. And so, you know, you move on through your life. And then March rolled around. 2 months later, I'm like, man, they still on this thing. And then something told me, I said, well, wait a minute. Maybe I shouldn't be ignoring this. And then they start talking about the numbers of people who were catching this was bad. I said, wait a minute, this is something. This is not something to overlook. It's not something that's, hey, man, something that should be ignored maybe. Maybe this is a little something. Maybe this ain't like the Ebola. I remember that. And so I began to take it a little bit more serious. And then, amen, April rolled around. May rolled around. And from April to May, things changed on my job. Everything just changed in the world. The world's kind of flipped upside down. People started getting laid off. I remember family members going home. They actually sent us home to work from home. The world was just flipped upside down. Like people, you know, going home, jobs sending them home. And then I know that me and Elder had talked about something. And I was listening to him. I was like, okay, something is up. And as soon as they made that mandate that said that the entire world must wear a mask, that's the first thing that came to my mind was the book of Revelation, the mark of the beast. I said, wow. Now, it's not the mark of the beast, but it's a type. And we cannot ignore types in the Bible. Okay, we cannot ignore warnings. Okay, and I said, well, I said two things here. The world hasn't been mandated to do anything as a whole, at least the known world. Now, the world is known all over now, globally. See, back when Caesar taxed the world, it was just the known world. It was just around the Mediterranean Sea and the northern parts of Africa and parts of Europe and Eastern Europe, going down into Asia Minor, just the known, what we call the known world. In other words, the entire earth. In other words, way deep in Africa, way north and west of Europe or certain parts of Asia, and definitely not in South, what we know is now North and South America, was not part of the known world, okay? So when Caesar taxed, almost over 2,000 years ago, when he taxed the world, okay, that was the known world. He said everybody must pay taxes. That was a type. Wasn't the Antichrist, but it was a type. And so we see this type again now where they mandated that everybody, see, the first type was just for you to pay taxes, but the type was just that he did something to the known world, which wasn't like the mark of the beast. But I'm just giving you an example of the last time the world was mandated to do something on a large scale like that. Now, it's probably something in between from that time to now, before the mask mandate. But the point that I'm making is, over, again, back during the time of Christ, when Caesar decided to tax the world, it was not attached to something to you personally. It was on the outside. But see, the mask, it touches you, meaning that you must put this on your face. You must do something that affects you every day, your body, okay? That's the point I'm making, your body. And the mark of the beast, when it comes, when it happens, is going to be the exact same way. Okay? It's going to be something that's going to be attached to your body. Just like they're doing this vaccine. Now you see the vaccine a year later, 2020, going into 2021, they made the mandate of what? You got to get this jab. You got to get this shot. Okay? But before that, the first warning that came was what? The mask mandate. And we should have known from there It wasn't going to get any better. And I've been saying that since this all jumped off. It's not going to get any better. Has it gotten any better? No, it hasn't. Everybody wants us to go away. Now they came with all the Delta, the Omicron. They come with so many different variants. They said so many. And I said this in the very beginning because I remember speaking to this guy over the phone at the bank, and he said, man, he was stuck in Asia. He said, man, I'm just trying to get home. I'm just trying to get my credit card, my debit card's working. Man, I just want to come home. And I can't come home because my car's not working. You guys know my car froze. I can't come home. And now I'm just kind of stuck over in Asia. I just want to come home because he said, man, you guys are just talking about the COVID-19. He said, man, there's so many different variants over here in Asia that they're not even talking about in the news. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, man, that's the whole other that they're talking about is here that you guys have no knowledge of that they're talking about. I said, wow. This is back in April 20th. That's when I knew it was serious when the guy said that. I said, this is more serious than this is not like the other stuff we've seen in the past. It's not like AIDS and Ebola and, you know, these different type of things that they're saying is an epidemic. It's not that. This is something totally different. So we are waking up as many people as we can. So when you spread the word, that helps. Tell them to listen to the show. When you spread the word, you listen. If you don't spread the word, you're getting the knowledge. Even if you're going to share it, that's fine. But we have to let the world know that Christ is on his way back. We're so close, we believe that, man, it's faster than you can blink, faster than you can think. We're out of here. So I want to go back and finish Revelation, the first chapter, verse 3. It says, blessed is he that readeth. So in order for you to understand, you must read it first. And from reading, you begin to study. Amen. Because it says, and they that hear in the Greek is to understand the words of this prophecy. The book of Revelation, that's the prophecy of Revelation. And keep those things which are written therein. Okay? Now remember, the prophecy started in Genesis. So now, not only are we talking about just Revelation directly, but indirectly, the whole entire Bible. We are to keep God's commandments. Because the scripture just said, John just told us we'll be blessed to do so. And we're going to point out here in a minute, what are your blessings, okay? Now watch what he says at the end of the scripture. He says, for the time is at hand. Now John wrote this over 2,000 years ago. Why did John say that the time is at hand? Why did John say that? If he said, wait a minute, 2,000 years ago, what is he saying that the time is at hand? That means that Christ would have came back 2,000 years ago or even maybe, you know, close to that time. Why did John say the time was at hand? Because John knew that he was writing to the future. He wasn't just writing to the people in his time. He said that the time is, in other words, the time to get it right is now, not later. The time for you personally to get, because we can leave this world today. This is what John was saying. He knew he was writing to a future time. He knew that because God had already showed him what's going to happen in the future. He'd already showed John what's going to happen. And really, John already knew it was the future. It wasn't in his time. He knew that. But when he preached to the seven churches, he said, repent, repent, repent. This is the key, repent. Because when you repent, it's now, it's not later. And we always have that mentality and that mindset that we kind of want to wait. I mean, when I was young, I used to be like that. Oh, man, I'm going to wait. I had my whole life planned out when I was young. Oh, man, I'm going to play the field and get out here and do this and do that for 20, 30 years when I get old. And then there's going to be a problem. Look at me. Damn, I'm going to look for a wife or, you know, or somebody going to want me. You know, that's the mentality that I had. That was bad, wasn't it, right? It was a long time ago. Almost 30 years ago, I had it planned out when I was a young man, my early 20s, had it planned out. But little did I know, God had something else for me. He had other plans for me. And the plan that he had for me was to be a minister and a preacher and a teacher of his word and to teach salvation and love. That's my ministry, is salvation and love. Okay? So this is what I'm sharing with you today, is God's word. Amen? Okay? So he says that for the time is at hand. But now I want to show you the blessed hope, okay? So what are some of the things that are the blessed hope? Okay, let's go back to go to 1 Thessalonians. Go over to 1 Thessalonians and let's see. See if I can find. There it is. 1 Thessalonians, it is actually the second chapter, and it is verse 19. Now, we talked about maybe about a month ago about the five different crowns that you can receive for being a saint of God. Now, you know, some people be happy with just one. And I'm not going to lie. I would just be happy with just one. Not saying that I'm being content, but you know, if I got nothing else, like my brother said, if I was just in heaven, that's a blessing just itself, just to be in heaven, amen? So, but the fact that you can receive five crowns, amen? We're going to go over those crowns real quick. Okay, I got them right here in front of me. Got these crowns. But before I go over those crowns, I want to read to you what Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, first chapter. I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians, second chapter, verse 19. It says, Paul, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing, or not even ye in the presence of our Lord Yahshua the Christ at his coming? Meaning that when Christ appears, if you are alive and remain, if you're blessed, well, I'll tell you guys, this is the most blessed time to be alive as a saint. I believe it's the blessed time to be alive because you want to know why? Two things. There's a possibility that we're going to get to witness Christ returning back to get the church, number one. Number two, we're going to miss the great tribulation. It's a blessing. The most horrified time to be alive is the great tribulation. You can rest assured that. But the blessed time is to be, the blessed thing is to be a saint in this time. You're going to get a crown for actually witnessing Christ at his appearance. Okay? All right, so watch this. So that's part of it. It says for soul winners, actually. That's for the soul winners, for the crown of rejoicing. That's for soul winners. But let me show you the crown of loving his appearance. It's actually in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 4. Yeah, 2 Timothy 4th chapter, verse 8 is actually the one when you love his appearance. So let's go take a look at that. So if you're winning souls, you're preaching the gospel, you're going to get a crown. Okay, if you're sure, you don't even have to be a pastor or anything like that, or have a what we call a title or a position. You should be a saint, just a believer, just sharing the word. Now, over in 2 Timothy, if I could get there. There we go. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 8. There we go. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, which he's referring to Christ, shall give me at that day. What day? The day that Christ come back to get the church. Amen. Okay. It says, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Now, watch this. Now, I mentioned earlier that those of us who are alive and remain and get to see Christ return. I also happen to believe that that's also including the dead in Christ. In other words, those who are in the grave. I actually also believe that they can receive this crown, because who's not going to be rejoicing when Christ comes back again? Whether you were in the grave, he raised you from the dead. Remember, they're going to be raised up first. They will get to see him first. And then those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up as well. So who's not going to love his appearance? Who's not going to be like, man, hallelujah, look at this. We got a new body. Man, brand new spanking body. I'm not old looking anymore. I'm not, you know, used to have my health. You'd be able to run, do all this stuff, lift weights and stuff. Look at me now. He's given me a brand new body. Amen. And the fact that I have a new body, I love his appearing, I'm going to get a crown for that. Can't beat that. Hallelujah. You can't beat that. This is what John was talking about. Blessed is he that readeth keepeth his word. Well, if you're sharing God's word and saving souls, you're keeping God's word. If you're showing love, you're keeping God's word. If you're helping, you know, your neighbor, you're doing God's word. Definitely if you're sharing love, you know, that's the greatest commandment, love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor. First and second commandment are the greatest commandments. Amen. That's the main focus there is the first two commandments. Christ said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I come to establish the law. He said, in establishing the law, how am I going to establish the law? I'm going to establish the law by what? Love. He made it simple. I told y'all, God keeps things simple. Man complicates things. See, what Moses was saying, and he was just getting the ordinance from God that God gave him for the children of Israel, that was complicated to do all those things. The thing they had to do, sacrifice, make sure it was the right type of sacrifice, the thing they had to go through was complicated. That wasn't easy stuff they had to do. We don't have to do that today in the church age. All we have to do is what? Just simply believe. Share the word. Show love. Amen. Okay? So getting back to Revelation, the third chapter. And again, we're just showing you the blessings for being the saints. The blessings to come is what we're talking about. Man, we have so much to look forward to. And, you know, people live as Christians or believers or Christians, whatever your title you want to go by. People live this life as they live it haphazardly as believers and Christians, or let's just say believers and saints. They live their life haphazardly, like, oh, I'm a saint of God, I'm a child of God. No, don't you know the expectancy? Don't you know what's coming? Don't you know the King is coming? The King of glory is coming back to get me, you. He's coming back to get all the saints. He's going to raise all our loved ones that passed on, that loved them in the past. He's going to raise them from the dead. We're going to all go back with him. And when we're in the air, we're going to be at the Bema seat. We're going to get all our rewards. But the greatest gift that he's going to give us is eternal life. He's going to give us eternal life. There's no other gift that you're going to give us greater than eternal life. You think about it. If you want to, if God said, I'm going to give you all these mansions, but you're only going to get to enjoy it for 1,000 years. Or if he said, man, I'm going to give you eternal life and a brand new body. You're going to look like you're, let's say, age 33. That's the age Christ was when he was crucified, when he died. He was 33 years old. And you're going to get to look 33 years old for the rest of your life. But your body, oh, yeah, guess what? Your body's going to be new. You're going to be made over again. You're not going to look old. You're going to look new. You're not going to have the things that death brought about. Well, what did death bring about? The moment you fell out of your mom's womb, you were born dying. And every day after that, you are dying. And everything that you endured after your birthday, the day that you were born, was death. If you got a scar, that was death. If you got a scratch on your face, that was death. If you picked up weight, that was death. If you broke a leg, that was death. If you tore a ligament or something like that, that was death. If your eyes begin to fade and you need glasses, that death. If you begin to gray, that's death. Everything that happens to us as we go through our lives, we age every day, that's death. So how is that death? Because it is. Because when you have eternal life, nothing can fade you. Falling down doesn't hurt you. Okay? When I'm speaking of falling down, I'm not saying just like literally tripping and falling down. I'm just simply saying anything that can bring pain or harm to your body, that's death. That's not going to happen in eternal life. That's going to be passed away. Nothing can hurt you. Nothing can harm you. Nothing can bother you ever again. Nobody's going to say any hurtful words to you ever again in eternal life. Nobody's going to make you feel bad or belittle you, make you feel, even though there's going to be some saints going to have a little bit more than some other saints, but we pretty much going to all be the same because you want to know why. What is the greatest gift we're going to receive other than crowns and other whatever the other rewards that Christ, the mansions that Christ mentioned? What's the main thing that we're going to receive that's the most important, I think? Huh? It is eternal life. Okay? Christ said that. Eternal life. Don't get no bigger than eternal life. Amen. I guess they look eternally good for all eternity, never ending. That's the greatest gift. That's the best thing. Amen. Now watch this. Go with me to Revelation 22 and 7. Okay? I'm giving you some scriptures, and then we'll get into some descriptions. I'm giving you scripture, but then we'll get into some descriptions. I'm going to describe to you some of the things that that's including this blessed hope, this package. You know how when you get a job, they like to sell you on this package, this thing. You'll get benefits. You'll get 401K. You'll get dental vision plan. You'll get medical health. You know, they like to always sell you on some type of package in life. You'll get a salary. You'll get this good job making all this money. And, you know, you'll get all this benefits. They like to say. So what I'm giving you is the benefits of eternal life. Amen. I'm giving you the goodness that God has for us, the saints, the good things that are coming to us that we should not ignore. So that's the thing with the saints. That's the problem with the traditional churches. They want to preach too much on the earth and what you can get here and now, but nobody likes to preach to you what's coming. And you got some folks that's silly out here that have nerves saying, well, I want my pie in the sky now. Well, you can forget about it because you can't get no pie in the sky now. In fact, you can't get the pie that's in the sky now. Amen. You can't get the pie that's in the sky now. That ain't how God designed it. You're going to get your pie in the sky when I come back and get you. And when I take you to heaven, that's how it works. You're going to get your pie in the sky when I say, when I'm ready to give it to you, not when you want. I'm going to have my pie in the sky right now when you go right ahead, because what you're getting now is not the pie in the sky. I more than guarantee you that. What you're getting now on this earth can match nothing with Christ and what God's going to do for you in the eternities, in the eternal life. It's just not possible. Amen? So I'm going to get ready to read the scripture, and we're going to go a little bit more in depth in the book. Amen. 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 Hold on for one moment. All right. Revelation, the 22nd chapter, verse 7. This is what it reads. This is what it says. It says, behold, I come quickly. Now, let's stop right there. Because I want you all to understand this. There's another verse. I gotta see if I can find it. Amen. I should have wrote it down. I don't have no notes. I don't have it written down. There's another section in the Bible, somewhere over in the New Testament. I'll make sure I get it. Where Paul mentions, he says, a Lord come quickly. What he is saying is that, you know, and I told you before, that they expected for Christ to come in their time at one point. And then he probably realized that, you know, Christ is probably not going to come in my lifetime. But that's the expectancy of all saints throughout the church age. Most saints or some saints throughout the church age, even if it was 100 years ago, 200, 300, 400, 500,000 years ago, 800 years, 1,800 years ago, they all was expecting Christ to come back when? In their lifetime. They wanted Christ to come back now, not later, not, you know, so many years. They wanted Christ to come back now. That's what they wanted. They wasn't. That's what the desire. It should be the desire. Which amazes me though is that the people in the world, they don't want Christ to come back. Even the people in the church, people are enjoying their life. They're going on vacations. They're going to Jamaica. Cancun, South America, Africa, Europe, cruise ships. People are living a life. They're making money. More and more entrepreneurs are being made. People are making meals. Talking about, man, people in churches, they are living a life out here. You know, some people are living the straddle of the fence. They're living a double life. People are living a life out here in the church. They're living good. Nice new houses, nice cars. Now, two or three, we have more than our parents had. We parents had two cars, some of them got three cars, you know. Parents had a house, maybe 1,200 square foot. We got 2,000 square foot. You know, people doing it big now. Parents made X amount of dollars a year, maybe 10, 20, some are making 40, 50, 100,000 a year. You know, people are living good now. Life is great. Life is good, right? They don't want to come. Christ coming back. Now, you said that some states, they'll look at you like they want to slap you upside the head. Christ is coming back? Are you for real? They don't want Christ to come back. That's the truth. They don't want him to come back. Most of them don't, which is sad. They're living too good. That's why a lot of people want to go back to the church. The church is you. Church is not that big. Christ didn't come back to get that building. Christ has come back to get me, this temple here. He's not coming back to get the building. He's not coming back to get the church I used to preach at up the street. It's not where he's coming to. He's coming to get me. Not a building. He's coming to get this temple. Tim. Okay? So we should live with expectancy. Amen? Some expectancy, I says, for the return of Christ. Hey, don't get me wrong. I enjoy life just like anybody else. I enjoy the finer things in life just like anybody else. Okay? But I also realize that this is temporal. And that this life, at the end of the day, when I weigh it out, Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In fact, Paul said he'd rather be with God. But if God wants me here and needs me here, I'm going to do his will. I'm going to love. I'm going to teach salvation. Excuse me. I'm going to teach his word. I'm going to share his word. I'm going to teach people eschatology. I told you, if he doesn't come back to 100 years later, that means that I probably won't more than I'm going to be here. I'm already almost at 50, so 100 years put me almost at 150 years. So I won't be here unless some extraordinary thing happens spiritually. I don't know. But more than likely, I'm not going to be here in another 100 years. So if he cries to come back 100 years, I won't be here. So that means I need to continue to teach the gospel, continue to show love and walk in the Spirit and do what God has for me to do, is to teach you as much about God as I possibly can. Because why? I don't want to see nobody lost. I love each and every one of you. I love everyone that tunes into the show. I love those that don't tune into the show. Amen. I love everybody, regardless of what you look like, who you are, what race you are. I don't get into that. I love everybody. And I wish you the best. Okay? At the end of the day, amen, at the end of the day, okay, I do desire to be with God. I don't mean I'm right, Lord. I just want to just, Lord, come back 100 years. Lord, take me today. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, God, if it's, you know, if you're supposed to come back in any time, that you say that you've given me what? I think it's 80, and I think 10 years. So in other words, if you're strong enough, I think it's 70 years, something like that. It's always songs. I have to find, like I said, this is stuff I've read before in the past. Some scriptures that I continually read over, like these on Revelation, something that I constantly teach or I memorize, but the ones that I kind of, you know, may have known years ago. I probably memorized them at one point, but don't know them now. I'm just kind of paraphrasing. You know, God says so many good years. I give you these years, and if you're strong enough, you got 10 of them, you can make it to 80. If you're, I think that's what the scripture said, 70 years. But then if you're strong enough, you can make it to 80. And hey, man, if you make it past 80, you are really strong. You're a strong person. Some people body give out even in their 20s. You know, if you make it to 40, 50, 50, that just means you have to be a stronger person. Okay? So now, getting back to the scriptures. Revelation 22:7 says, behold, I come, what, quickly. And we desire for him to come quickly. In fact, you know, sometimes I'm like, Lord, you is not coming fast enough. If you had been here yesterday, man, I would have been good. Right? Amen? Because this life gets troubling. Let's just keep it real. This life gets troubling. You get down. You get stressed out. It's the same. Like I tell people, I was sharing with a young gentleman today, hey, I'm not perfect, right? None of us are. That's why Christ went to the cross. I couldn't go to the cross. There was no way in the world that Tim could have went to the cross. Why? Tim ain't that guy. Okay? Tim is working on him, Tim, every day, just like the next man or woman. And I love to tell people in a heartbeat because, you know, you got some of these pastors that act like they live in a glass house. I guarantee you none of us live in a glass house. I guarantee you everybody on this planet has something that they don't want the next person to know about. Everybody does, okay? I'm not no pastor trying to walk around like I'm high and mighty and I'm perfect. I don't do that. I've met Pastor Life. I'm like, really? Come on, man. I know better than that. You know, I'm a man just like you. I'm human just like you. I deal with the same temptation that you deal with. Okay? So in dealing with that, I hold on to God's hand like a child. That's what we are. We are the children of God. Hold on to his hand. Every day you walk, hold on to God's hand. So he may keep you. You know, when you was little and you was in the store walking with your parents, and your parents would say, hold my hand, don't you go nowhere. And that's how it used to be. No, it ain't like that no more. You walk in the store, a little 2-3 year old walking by, they're like, wait a minute. Where is it? It's funny, but not funny. Like, especially all the stuff going, where your mom and dad at? And they just trotting through the store like they 25. Are you for real? This kid is 2 or 3 years old. Where's your mom and dad at? You know? But, you know, I remember when I was a kid, and my mom, her mom and dad watched me like a hawk. Where are you going? No, you walk right in front of me. You stay right here. You hold my hand. That's how I did my kids. My kids are just about all grown. I got a couple more years, my kids will be grown. Last two. Amen? But 2 or 3 years, yeah, they'll be out of here. But, you know, that's what you have to do. Okay? God will protect you if you hold his hand. That's real. He'll protect you. Okay? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay? Now watch this. Back to verse 7. It says, behold, I come quickly. Now watch what it says. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of this book. Okay? Now you want to say, what book? The Bible book, the book of Revelation, both. You're right. Both. The prophecy of Revelation and also the Bible. Because why? The Bible from Genesis to Revelation points from Genesis to Revelation. It's a story in between those, what? Two books, Genesis and Revelation. The story, a great story. One of the greatest stories ever written. This is the Bible. That's why the Bible is the best-selling book in the world. Ain't no book will ever sell the Bible. Because you want to know why? And one day I'm going to teach y'all this. I'm going to teach y'all about the word and the power of the word. One day I'm going to take a break from eschatology just a little bit, kind of just get back to some other things. In fact, I may probably do another series, another show to where I kind of just do regular Bible teachings again. You know, I miss that, don't get me wrong, but I love this too, but I have to wake people up about where we are today, okay? Amen? So, all right, move right along, okay? So, John says, blessed is he that keepeth the saying. Man, do you know it's not hard to keep the saying of God? It really isn't. Because one, once you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you have been what? You have been saved. You have the Holy Spirit. You have been saved. God has saved you. God has given you salvation, okay? You've been saved. My goodness, I tell you one thing. And, you know, speaking about having that new body and stuff, you know, I had knee surgery many years ago, and, you know, the doctor told me, oh, you know, maybe, you know, when you get older, you may have to have a knee replacement. I looked at him crazy, like, what knee replacement? I ain't getting my knee replaced. You're talking crazy now. Hopefully they have something new. I don't think they have anything new, but, you know, sometimes my knee gets to bother me. It gets sore, especially while I'm standing or I'm walking around, you know, especially when I preach or teach sometimes. It kind of have a tendency to bother me sometimes. So, you know, then this pandemic didn't help, and it kind of put a little weight on me. So I'm kind of, you know, exercising, trying to get some of this weight off. And so, like I say, you know, these are just some of the things that, you know, I think about daily, actually. You know, things that I want to have to deal with when I'm walking around heaven. So, you know, you can't – here's the thing, though, you can be a song, I'm walking around heaven all day. And so you can't walk around heaven all day if you're aging. Think about that. Can you walk around the streets of gold if you're a billion years old? I'm quite sure you wouldn't look right at a billion years old, right? Because you see some folks, it would be nice. But, you know, you're just not going to look right. So God said, no, I got to give you eternal life. I got to make you look young and strong for all eternity. Okay? You're not going to need no toothbrush in eternity. When you eat, so you have to trust to eat fruits, but you don't have to. But you can drink water and eat fruits. There's a myth. You don't have to. Okay? So God's going to make it. You don't have to. You can never eat again if you don't want to. But because we do have taste buds, and we were on this earth, we're human, we're pretty much going to be the same, but just different. Okay? You still have this body. right? Okay, because Christ said, you should be like me. Is that right? All right? Okay, so Christ says that. And so Christ said that. He says, go look at the last book of Luke. I think I can't remember what quote, but it's the last book of Luke. Read that when they saw Christ. And he said, handle me. He said, you know, does the spirit have this flesh and bones like me? And he said, handle me. He said, you got something to eat? Give me some fish. I believe it was fish and bread. Give me some meat. Give me some fish and bread, right? And so he was giving the example that, hey, I still eat. I still enjoy the things. See, this is the thing that's so beautiful about the blessed hope, the things that is coming that we're going to get to enjoy. You're not going to miss out. Well, I tell people, man, being saved is the greatest thing ever. You're not missing out by being saved. You're missing out by not being saved. You're not missing out being saved. Oh, man, I still, oh, man. And, you know, this is some crazy stuff supposed to tell me when you with this. Oh, man, I'm good, man. I can't be saved, man. I drink too many beers. I smoke too much weed or do this. All right, okay, brother, I understand. I get it, you know. Pray for me and move on, you know. The Bible says don't cast what? Pearls among the swine. Don't be giving God's precious words to somebody who don't want to hear it. You're wasting time. Okay? All the people that don't want to listen, that usually listen, don't listen to you, don't know, that's fine. They weren't meant to. Move on. Like I told one brother, it ain't my job to convince you. My job is to share the word of God with you. The word's going to convince you. Like my daddy's going to always say, the word will either draw you or drive you. It ain't my job to sit and try to gather up a million people. That ain't what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to tell somebody. And the Bible said, well, there's two or three guys. So, hey, there's two or three people listening. Well, there's 200 or 300 people listening. Well, there's two or three thousand people listening. Okay? I'm here to do the worst of the worst of him that sent me. While it's day. For when night comes, the Bible says, no man can know. When you close your eyes in this life, you can't work no more. But while I'm alive, I want to preach this word and share this precious gift that God has given to me to give it to you to share with somebody else. Okay? Amen. So I want to share that with you, amen, about the blessed hope that's coming. I'm not finished now. I'm giving you the scriptures, then we're going to get to the description. But before I do, amen, what I want to do, I want to actually share with you the plan of salvation. This is such a beautiful thing. Amen. Take a seat. The plan of salvation is such a beautiful thing. The plan of salvation says, I don't care who you are, I'm giving you the opportunity on equal grounds. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, small or great, because the Bible talks about that in Revelation, the 20th chapter. Because John said, I saw all men. When you see the word M-E-N, it's referring to mankind, both male and female. All men. He said, I saw all men, male and female. I saw great men. I saw small men. I saw rich men. I saw poor men. John said, I saw them all. And so do you realize when John is showing us revelation that he's a representative of the church? You do know that, right? So what John saw, we will also see as well. So when the church is caught up in Revelation, the 4th chapter, verse 1, when the church is caught up to heaven, we are going to be, where? In heaven, looking down, witnessing the tribulation. Thank God we're going to be in heaven, looking down. You know how you watch TV? You look at stuff on social media or video games. It seems a little funny, but it's not, but it's the truth. We're going to actually be witnessing it. So when you watch a show, you're witnessing it. And it's going to be vivid. You're going to see it in high definition, as they like to say. 8K, you may be watching it in 100K. Seriously, man, you're going to be watching the events on earth from heaven. So remember, all the angels in heaven, the 24 elders were there, which is who's the 24 elders? The 24 elders, excuse me, are the 12 apostles, which represents the church, and the 12 tribes of Israel, which represents who? The nation of Israel. So all the saints of the ages are going to be looking down from heaven, watching the seven-year tribulation. Lord, have mercy. And thank God we don't have to go through it. God knows how to protect and keep his own. Revelation, the third chapter, verse 10. Okay. Let me share that with you real quick, because I love to share this verse when I'm teaching this eschatology. I got to throw it out there every now and then, because I don't know who's new. I don't know who's been listening, but I like to keep it on your mind fresh and give you that assurance. That's what Paul said, and comfort one another with these words. That's the reason why Paul said that. Why would Paul say comfort one another? Going through the tribulation is not going to be comforting at all. There's nothing going to be there to comfort you in the great tribulation. But when Paul says comfort one another, what he's simply saying is you ain't going to have to go through it, baby. You ain't got to worry about what's about to happen. Watch Revelation 3 and 10 what it says. It says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. What's the word? Look at that word. That word in Revelation 3 and 10 is the same word that's over in St. John, the third chapter, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the word, and the word was. Who is the word? Who is the Logos? The Logos is who we call Yahshua. Y'all call him Jesus. It's fine. It's okay. I'll call him Yeshua. He is our Lord and Savior. This is Christ, the one who died on the cross. So what he said, because you have kept Christ in your heart, on your mind, you're doing what Christ has commanded the church to do. Because you have kept my word, because you have kept Christ, is what he is saying. You have kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Now watch how God separates, man. Y'all gonna make me go back into to the wall, probably on the street corner, and start preaching again. Amen. Watch what it says. He said, because he said, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. He just separated us from the world. And then folks have a nerve to say, oh, the church is going to go through the tribulation. No, you're going to go through the tribulation because that's how you believe. Because you don't believe and trust God, and you don't have the faith in God that God's going to keep you and deliver you from such a horrible thing. Why would God allow his child? That's like you saying, okay, you got your child, and you got this evil, heathenistic child over here. And you're going to say, okay, y'all got to go through this thorn and thistle field. You got to go through all that, the thorns and thistles, and you got to run through this field. Now, why don't you send your child to them? That's your child, and your child is good. See, God only considers, I remember sharing this with the sister one time. She said, well, we are all God. I said, no, I had to stop the sister. I said, sister, you know, the Bible says speak the word in truth and in love. I shared it with her in truth. And I spoke it to her in a loving way. I wasn't harsh or ugly to her. And she was receptive to it. She said, you're right, brother. I said, sister, that's not true. I said, everybody's not a child of God. We're not all God's children. Now, we are all God's creation. See, I have to break that. We are all God's creation. Yes, God created us all, sister. You're right. But God did not. Amen. I shall repeat. We are not all God's children. Everybody don't get to wear that title. See, I'm a king's kid. And you can't have, see, my last name is Jackson. So if you wasn't of the Jackson household, you just can share my last name. Amen. You couldn't be on the Reverend Jackson and Sister Jackson household. Amen. If you was not born of the Jackson household. How you going to share my last name and your last name is Johnson, Wilson, or Bartholomew, or whatever your last name. Amen? You can't be a king's kid until you choose to be a king's kid. Now you are a child. That's what the scripture says. Now we are what? Sons of God. You have to make the choice to be part of God's kingdom. See, you are up here rebuking God's kingdom. I don't want no part of that. Well, God don't want no part of you then. See, that's what people don't understand why Abraham was found worthy. It wasn't because God just looked down and said, no, it's because Abraham looked up to God first, and God said, oh, you see me, huh? And God said, okay, and he recognized Abraham. God has no respect to a person. He's going to look down and say, oh, look at Tim. No, that ain't how it works. Tim looked up to God, and God said, okay, Tim sees me. He acknowledges that I'm his God now. And so God blessed him with something, said, I'm going to bless Tim with this gift. He's going to do ministry one day. He's going to speak the word. He's going to bring souls into the kingdom of God. That's how it works. Amen. So I want to share that with you. Amen. He said that he would keep us from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try who? To try them. He didn't say try us. He didn't try the church. He said to try them. I'm not a us. I'm a us. They're a them. I'm a us. They're a they. I'm a us. Amen. So he's saying to them, I said, to try them. Who is them? The non-believers, the people who reject God. He's going to try them that dwell upon the earth. Trust me, that's a trying that you don't want. That's a trying that you will be, man, it's going to be hard to endure. I thank him right now. I give him all the praise and the glory. Amen. It's at the top of the hour. What I want to do is share with you the plan of salvation. Amen. The plan of salvation, what is the plan of salvation, brother? It is the doorway. It is the keys to the kingdom of heaven. If you want to go through the pearly gates, I know that we've seen shows and cartoons growing up, and they all say, oh, the gates of heaven, you know, you want to get through the pearly gates. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you want to get through the pearly gates or whatever you want to call it, if you want to make it to the gates of heaven, if you want to go to heaven, and heaven is real. We have some people say, oh, so you mean to tell there's this pearly gates in the sky stuff. I mean, you know, there's some funny stuff you hear people say. I'm like, oh, okay. You're mocking fun now. But don't you know there are people right now in hell? And that's not, it's funny, but not funny. It's not funny that they went to hell, but it's funny how people will be cynical towards you. Just, you know, they want to try to make you feel bad about what you believe, and then they want to be comical. But oh my gosh, when they close their eyes in this life and they end up in hell, Lord have mercy. It's all you can say. But it's too late. It's too late. You made your choice to go to hell. That's what you've done. You made your choice to go to hell. A lot of these folks like, were these shirts like these folks all in heaven, clouds all around them? Well, some of these folks, you knew how they lived. There should be dark smoke around them. There should be some fire behind them. You already know. You know these folks ain't in heaven. Quit playing. You know these folks raising hell on earth, but you want to put them in heaven. No, you ain't raising hell on earth and going to heaven. That is all it is to it. News flash. You ain't raising hell on earth and going to heaven. That ain't how it works. You raise hell on earth, you're going to hell. In fact, hell ain't going to be what you want because you can't imagine hell. Okay, let's just keep it real, all right? Now, as I was saying, the plan of salvation, Romans the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. This is what it says. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord, Yahshua, and shalt believe in thine heart that Yahweh hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Amen. I said, well, brother, break that down in layman's. Break that down to where an elementary kid can explain. I said, brother, I would love to, amen, because that's what I do, and that's what God has blessed me to do, because when I preach, I tell people all the time, how can you be 35 and not understand? And I got a fifth grader right there. He understands it like nothing. That always amazes me. I'm like, how is it that a 12-year-old child can get what I'm saying, but you are a full-grown man or woman, and you want to contest it. Oh, brother, I don't believe. Okay, well, you know, okay, well, it's my job just to share with you. It's your job to do your own study and research and pray and ask God to show you the way. Amen. I'm not here to force nothing on nobody. Amen. So let's look at this verse 9. Amen. Why am I let's talk about the plan of salvation? Because that's it. If you want to receive these crowns of life, these crowns of rejoicing, amen, the loving of his appearing, these five crowns that you can receive. If you want to receive the reward that Christ talked about, he said, if I go, I'll go to prepare a place for you. When I come, amen, he's going to come back and get us. And he promised when he comes back to get us, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. There's something for us when he comes back. So not only, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If he said all these things, he's blessing you with gifts. You're going to get everlasting life. You're going to get crowns. And you're going to also get what? What else are you going to get? Talk to me. mansions or a mansion. If it's one mansion, I'm fine. I'll live in one house now. I don't know what I would do with mansions. Amen. I'm not going to reject it. Amen. I mean, I'm going to accept my blessings. Amen. So I'm just saying that to just let you know, this is the blessed things that are coming to us. You said, well, brother, how can I receive all these blessings and gifts and eternal life? All this stuff that you're talking about, brother, I want to receive these things. How can I have these things? What must I do to be saved? Amen. We know that people have asked that question before. What must I do to be saved? Here it is. That's all you have to do is simply confess with your mouth. That's what the Bible says. I didn't see it. I didn't make it up. I can't make it up. But God made it simple. He said, all you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and thou shalt be saved. People want to make salvation complicated. I always hear people say, oh, but, brother, hey, there's no but. I don't see a but in them scriptures. Verse 9 and 10, I don't believe there's a but. Let me go back and read it again. Let's see if there's a but. And Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9. I'm going to read it again, and I'm going to see if I see a but in there. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Yahshua, and shalt believe in thine heart that Yahweh hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's no but in there. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There you go. So I didn't read a but in there. I think I can read pretty good. Now, when I was pretty young, they said that my reading was above the grade level that I was in. So I was always, my mom was a school teacher, so I could always read and articulate, some say, pretty good, pretty decent. Okay, I can read. I can definitely do that. There's not B-U-T or any other but in that scriptures, okay? So there's no but or buts, okay? So it's pretty straightforward. Paul, let's put that way, but Paul's a scholar. Paul is pretty straightforward and direct with his words. He don't play. He's straight to the point, and he cuts to the quick. Amen. There is no but. So he's pretty on it. So there's no such thing. People say, but brother, you got no. God ain't said that. In fact, as Chris said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. All you have to do is have faith. Just believe in him. That's it. You're saved. That's it. Why all of that? Why do people want to make this hard? Why do you want to make people swim across the ocean to be saved? You ain't swimming across the ocean to be saved. That's what gets me. As a very few say, you got to climb Mount Everest, brother. You got to come down Mount Everest, brother. They want to make you do all these things, but they ain't it to be saved. So now you want to put a stipulation on salvation, which the Bible ain't. God ain't put no stipulation on salvation. God ain't added nothing into that. In fact, I just show you several places in the Bible where it shows you that works is excluded. The law is excluded from you being saved, meaning you going to heaven. It's excluded. And if you try to include it, the Bible says that God's grace is not upon you, meaning that you don't even have salvation because you're trying to add something in the scripture that ain't even there. Amen. I think there's a few things that God don't play with. He don't play with blasphemy, and he don't play with salvation. His son didn't die on the cross for you to play with salvation, for you to try to change up the script. God said, we're not doing that. My son has already did the most difficult part. He's already taken care of the hardest part. He died on the cross. He did what no other man could do in 33 years. We can live here 3,300 years and couldn't do what Christ did. Come on now, they're not ready. Y'all better get up on this. Like the young, like my kid, y'all better get up on this. The kids or something else. Amen. So back over to the, all right, amen, amen. We're done at the top of the hour, so we're going to conclude with our Bible study. Amen. Amen. Have to take a little break from just a little one. I'm still on eschatology, but didn't really get in depth, so I'm kind of doing the blessed hope, something that I'm more familiar with. I'm kind of freestyling on some of these scriptures, but it's okay. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit give us a word and be a blessing and give you these scriptures and break down the word for you today. Amen. I'm just doing the best that I can amen, to give you the word of God, amen. I think I kind of lost my notes here, amen, but nonetheless, we're going to do what we can, amen. Amen. So we're talking about the new heaven, new earth type of thing, okay? So here's the blessed hope. Here is the blessed hope. Okay, so what is the blessed hope, brother? The blessed hope is that Christ promised us that he's going to come back and get us. That's number one. And we're going to love his appearing. And the secret that Paul talked about, which is not a secret to the church, which is the mystery, is not to us, it's to the unbelievers. It's going to be mysterious when we all disappear. It's going to be a mystery. It's going to be like, you know those people disappearing the other day? Yeah, I heard about those people. Why can we didn't know anything about that? See, it's a secret to them, not to us. The gig is up with us. We know it's going down. And we know it's about to go down soon. They don't know it's about to go down. Amen? Right? Okay. So, the blessed hope. Christ promised he's going to come back and get us. He's going to come back and get us. Watch this. He's going to come back and get us before it's all kick off, before the tribulation starts. And when he come back and get us before the tribulation starts, guess where we're going to be at? We're going to be in heaven, rejoicing, crying, shouting, loving his appearance, because we know the Lord's going to be beautiful. We're all going to be beautiful. We're going to have the new body. We don't even know what to do with ourselves, man. I'm going to be real with you, man. I don't know what to do with myself. I'll probably see myself with a full head of hair again, like, man, look at her. You don't know what to do with yourself. You know, some folks got teeth missing. You're going to have teeth. You're going to have whatever situation with your mouth. It's going to be big, crooked teeth, missing teeth. You're going to be fixed up, man. You know, if you like a slab of meat now, amen, because we know most of us don't look like we used to. And so if you like a slab of meat now, you probably cut up. You probably sexy or fine or what I'm just saying. You might be that dude or that girl. You may be that guy, that girl. So I don't know, but I'm just saying he's going to give you a new body. And I'm quite sure if you're 90 and he resurrects you, let me stop. You're going to be 90. I'm just saying. Hopefully you're going to be 90. No, I'm just saying. There ain't going to be nothing wrong with you. Going to, like one guy said, I don't come 400 pounds. Well, you say that. You know, if you next to me, I may be all children. You 400 pounds. You may be a little sour. You may be a little sour about that. Amen. You may be like, oh, his brother all children. I'm 400. Be careful what you ask for. Amen. So I'm just saying. So, you know, but... Amen, but I'm just saying. So you're going to get this new body. You're going to get these rewards, mansion or mansions, whatever he has for you is going to be greater than anything you can imagine on this earth. What did Paul say? Let's go back to the scripture. You know me, I like to go back to the word. But before I do, I want to go and visit John, the 6th chapter, 4 and 7, because I'm kind of stuck on this salvation thing. Go to St. John, the 6th chapter, verses... St. John, 6th chapter, verse 47. There we go. Kind of got caught up there a little bit. Amen. Still trying to dust the sleep off. You know how it is. Amen. You know, I kind of, while I was studying that, I was kind of dozing off a little bit, so I woke up earlier than I expected this morning because the guy came. Amen. St. John, 6th chapter, verse 47. What did Christ say? He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, who? You the saints. You the children of God. You the believers. I say unto you, he that believeth on me had everlasting life. Now, if that's not a guarantee, it's a hath. H-A-T-H. Like, it's a guarantee. Baby, you are in there. You know, you have your ticket. You are going to see the king. Amen. I mean, I used to see some jams back in the day. Well, we're going to see the king soon and very soon. We are going. I know I can't sing, but you know I'm just trying to do this just to kind of paint a picture here. Now we're going to see the king. I don't know about you, but I'm going. The king is coming. Okay, amen. So you think about these things. He that believeth on me happen. That's a guarantee. Monty, I go to bed, sleep well at night. I don't look, Lord, I don't wake up. I know I'm going to be pausing to be absent from the body. It's to be present with the Lord. See, y'all can play at them churches y'all go to. But see, we don't. We teach the word over here. Amen. At Reign and Love Ministries, we teach the word. We break down the word. We look it up. Amen. We go through with the original. We break. Hey, we're in there. Okay? It ain't no, you in one day, you out the next day. I'm like, boy, what the, I would hate to have your type of salvation. Oh, I'm saying, oh, I may lay down my religion. Who wants to lay down? Boy, the devil may sweep in and take you. You're going to lay down your, boy, that's the devil. The devil waiting on you. Are you going to lay it down this time? Let's see if you get it back. See, no, see, that's, we don't play those type of games over here. Once you're saved, you're saved. Christ didn't go through all that 33. You think, see, you have to quit playing with you folks in church. You think Christ, he came down, and he thought of himself as not, you know, he wasn't selfish. Kept going down to earth to be man and to be with man, to fellowship with man, and to dwell amongst them for 33 years and deal with hell on earth. And not literally hell, but you get what I'm saying. To deal with the hellish things on earth, the things they had to deal with on earth for 33 years. Not only that, the Lord, if you can take this cup from me and pass it. He didn't. He said there was another way. Not that he didn't want to do it. He said, if there's another way, Lord, let it be. But if I have to go to the cross, I will. So you mean to tell me Christ did all that, went to Christ, died for my sin, for me to lose my salvation? God don't lose. I don't know what church I'll go to, but I go to the church of the heavenly, the most high God, Yahweh's church. And that church says salvation is forever. Once I got it, I got it for all eternity. And I cannot, shall not, and will not lose my reward. Hallelujah. What did Paul say? If Jacob be lost, if Israel be lost, Jacob not going to lose his reward. Amen. There's no, the devil, there's a lot not losing nothing over here. We don't lose. Like I say, we win over here. Okay? New heaven, new earth. Okay? But I want to share that with you real quick. I have to share that verse with you because I was still stuck on that salvation thing. You know, I'm big on salvation and love because that's my ministry. So I've been teaching for the past 22 years. Amen. So Paul gave us one of the best descriptions of what was to come. And man, when I tell you, to try to describe what's going to come, John the Revelator did the best that he could to describe what he saw. Amen. In the future. What we're going to get to enjoy for all eternity, we get to be with our loved ones, my mom, my dad, my grandparents, all the other saints that decide to love the Lord and confess with their mouth and believe in the heart before they left. Amen. All the people now, okay, the millennials, we get to come back and reign with Christ for 1,000 years after the Great Tribulation. That's also part of the blessed. That's also... We're going to get to be all these rewards, all these gifts. This is all in your package of being a saint. You remember we talked about those benefits? You remember when you had benefits? You know, when you get a job, they say, I say, oh, well, look here, you come work for us. Tim, you know, we got 401K. Tim, we're going to pay you X amount of dollars a year. Plus, you're going to get bonuses. Tim, you get them bonuses. Man, look here, we're getting bonuses over here. We getting a serious 401k plan. Our 401k plan is for all eternity. It's off the chain. Look, we're retired for all eternity. Look, man, look at here. You know what I'm saying? And what else are we getting here? Man, we are getting a hookup as the church of God. Seriously, all those signs. We're getting a hookup. You can get the rain on this earth. You know, when I think about that, it's like I can't even fathom that.
I think about Lord, bless me to be here for 50 years. Not a long time, but, you know, a little bit. I got a little numbers on my belt. I can look back and say, man, you remember long, but when you remember back in our day, I can say that. I can say that. Remember back in our day, I can say that now. You know, I ain't got a little age. I don't got a little gray. You know, remember back in our day? But 50 years compared to 1,000 years? Oh, man. You playing 1,000 years? And then after that, eternity? Oh, man, who wants to miss out on this? Who wants to miss out on this? Tim's fixing to get new. Tim's going to be new on y'all. You know what I'm saying? Man, look at here. You know, who wants to miss out on these things, these blessings that God has? I pray that if you haven't received salvation today, something was said to bless your heart, to bless your soul, to bless your spirit. I want each and every one of you to know I love you. I know sometimes, you know, we got to laugh, you know, and have a little fun. Amen. So I know we've been going strong, serious with this eschatology for over a year. And, you know, before this, you know, all hit, you know, sometimes I will have a little fun with it, you know. But at the end of the day, it's all about the truth. It's okay to have fun, but it's all about truth and love. That's what it's about at the end of the day. I just want you to become saved. I do not want nobody to miss out on this opportunity. If you listen to this word, you say, man, if I'm driving my car, if I'm in my shower, I'm in the bathroom, you're in the bed, excuse me, in the kitchen cooking, whatever you're doing, you're in the toilet, whatever you're doing, you're listening to this word. Man, look at this. Salvation is yours. Salvation is free. Christ has already paid the price. That's why I'm trying to understand. People say, I got to work for our salvation. Christ already did the work. Christ already paid for your sins. You can't pay for your sins. You know how when you go to, you guys usually go to like a concert or a ball game or some big event and it costs a lot of money or your cruise ship or whatever, somebody already paid your way. Why would you try to pay your way again? The tenant going to look like your way your teeth already paid for. What you doing? You can't pay for your, you can't pay for your sin. You can't do salvation. Christ already done the work. Christ already paid for your salvation. He paid for your sins. And you're trying to redo it again. It don't work like that. Look at all these benefits you preachly get. And this is just the beginning. You know, the Bible only gives us a glimpse. Remember, this is eternity. This is just a blink of what we're getting. We don't, Paul said, I hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man what God has for them that love him. Amen and hallelujah. Amen. Let me just put my Bible on. I'm looking through my notes to try to see if I can find that scripture. But let me just use the Bible. Let me kind of dust off the old brain to see if I can remember where that scripture. There's a lot of scriptures in here. A lot of scriptures in my mind, you know. Some I you know, forgotten because I don't really, because I know them and don't really read over them that much anymore, but see if I can find that. Hopefully I can find that here. It's over in one of the books of Corinthians. Did I put it there? I think it's over in 2 Corinthians. You go there real quick. Maybe 1 Corinthians. I think it was 2 Corinthians, somewhere over earlier. But maybe it's 1 Corinthians. Amen. I think it is first one. Yeah. Well, there's one scripture that I read I should read. This is 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 8. It says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. See, Paul said, I'd rather be absent from the Bible. Paul said, I'd rather be in heaven with God, with Christ. Told you, that's what Paul said. I'd rather be with the Lord. Amen. So let's go over to, I think it's over 1 Corinthians. Let's go over 1 Corinthians real quick. 1 Corinthians, amen. Okay. And up there it is. Oh, there it is. It is. 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter. And this is what it says. 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verse 9. It says, but as it is written, and in other words, Paul said, I ain't making this up. This is already in the book. It's already in the book. What book? That book, the Bible. It's already part of the Holy Scriptures.
from times past. Amen. It said, but as it is written, I have not seen. That means that visually there is nothing on this planet, okay, or that you can even envision. That means in your inner thought, nothing that you've seen can reference anything close to heaven. That's why we should not make any images of heaven, because none of us have been there. When they thought about that, oh, y'all YouTube stuff, they're really. Oh, I think cousins are getting used. They usually look, oh, a five-year-old been to heaven. He has not been to heaven, okay? Stop. The five-year-old has not been to heaven, okay? 10-year-old is not. The 35-year-old, the 50, the 100-year-old has not been to heaven and came back, okay? There's only a few people that have actually experienced that. I don't believe nobody in this day and time that's posting views has been to heaven and came. But I just don't believe. I know some of y'all going to try to, you know, cut me down and say, ah, yeah. Okay, well, all right. You go with what you believe. But I'm going to go with what the scripture says. I'm going, the Bible's my friend, okay? Not someone that's going to sit there and say that they've been to heaven and came back. What did you see? Oh, I saw a tree. Did you? Because Paul said, I had not seen. Mother Paul said, there ain't no eyewitness. Okay, the things what God has for. That means the things in the heavenly, things in the spiritual realm. Okay? I know about Paul's experience. What about Paul's experience? I know about Paul's experience. I'm not talking about Paul. I'm talking about people at this day and time that's trying to be on social media. Okay? I don't think I've been to heaven. I don't think I'll post on social media. I might show a few friends and family because, you know, some people probably think you're a little crazy. Say, have you been to heaven? I don't know. I just don't trust a lot of people online that much. And I don't really believe that, okay? I'm just stick with the Bible. Paul said, I have not seen. Myself, nor ears heard. There are things in heaven, sounds in heaven that we can't, that's not here on earth. Heavenly sounds, songs, musical sounds. We think the music, we think we'd be banging down here. They probably like, man, please, wait till y'all get up here. Y'all think y'all having praise and worship? Y'all think y'all pray? Y'all wait till y'all get up here. We're going to show y'all how to do it. I can't wait. That's what I can't wait. When we in heaven giving praise and worship, I bet their praise and worship is just like, man, you probably just be just constantly just, you can't stop praising. The tribulation being passed, you just be just praising him. All right? Now watch this. It says, neither have entered into the heart of man. That's the word. In other words, the envisioning. You can't even envision heaven, even in your mind, your heart. You can't even think of what heaven was possible. All these little beautiful shows, these little, you know, futuristic. No, you can't touch heaven. He said the things which God, Yahweh, hath prepared for them that love him. Amen. Family has been good. Only have a few minutes left. It's been awesome. Hopefully something's been said today to bless your heart. I love you all so much. I'll say this, you are royalty, I am royalty, and I can't wait to be with the King for all eternity. Family, I love you. Again, you know, this is simple, man. Share this with someone. This is simple. Share salvation with people, man. Let people know how much you love them. Let them know what God has for them. If they don't want to hear it, it's fine. Move on to the next person. But, you know, focus, man. Let the young people know. Let the grown people know. Let the old people know. Let them know about the show, you know, but mainly let them know. If you don't want to share the show, that's fine. But if you're listening, you enjoy listening. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad you're enjoying the show. But I want you all to definitely share salvation and love. Share this word. Share this ministry. And what I mean by that, share this word that you heard today. Hopefully you were blessed. Family, I'm fixing to go. I think my wife got a pot in the oven for me, so, you know, I'm going to. I know I talked about the gym, but don't judge me. Amen. So please go relax. Amen. I love you. Family, I'll be back on the air tomorrow evening, afternoon with El Bazaar. I love you, and you all have a blessed and wonderful night. God bless you. Take care. Stay safe. And all blessings and glory to the Most High, Yahweh. Have a good night. Love you all.